This is The Peaceful Corner, Fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
All right, good day, everyone. Welcome back to The Peaceful Corner podcast. And I welcome you again as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And thank you all for joining us, you know, in the past few days. You know, it's been amazing, actually. So today I have a special guest with me, you know, very special guest. Very special guest with me today. And honestly, I'm just going to let him introduce himself. So, sir, over to you.
Oh, thank you, brother. Hi, everyone. Yeah, my name is Ayofelua. Yeah, and for those who may not want to pronounce my native name, I could just go by the name Paul, right? But traditionally, I'm Ayofelua, and I'm a son of God, a lover of God. I do a bit of teaching of God's word as well, but I like to see myself as a student of God's word, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you, sir.
Yes, we're glad to have you. We're honored to have you here with us, you know.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, always a pleasure. So today we are talking about soldiers, you know. Soldier, what is a soldier or a soldier in Christ, or a soldier of Christ, right? A soldier in that aspect of us as believers, right? When we call ourselves soldiers, what does that entail? And what does that mean? How should we look at that, or how should we carry that? What is expected of us, you know, as a soldier? So, you know, I feel where can we start in terms of this topic?
Okay. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you again for the honor, right? So nothing too complicated, all right? I'm just going to try as much as possible to make this as relatable to everyone who eventually gets to hear this podcast, right? Every nation where this recording will be heard has a name. So these nations have names. These nations mm-hmm. have national flags. These nations have a working government, you know, depending on the system of government that is being, you know, practiced, either democracy or monarchy or whatever, right? But you see, the Bible lets us know that we belong to a kingdom. The Bible says that it's a kingdom that cannot be moved. We have received this kingdom. The Bible says that fear not, little flock. That must be Luke chapter 12, all right? Because it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we have no doubt at all that this kingdom that God is talking about, we already live in it as believers. Mm-hmm. And like in the typical, you know, setting, democratic setting or what have you, a national system. In political science, we call them in a state, right? It's a nation state. We have the executive, legislative, and the judiciary. The executive, not to bore you with all of that story, okay? But the executive is the arm of government that is solely responsible for the execution of the law, to implement the law made by the legislature. And the soldiers or the army falls pretty well under the office of the executive. In other words, a soldier is one who brings to bear, all right, the ethics of his nation, what his nation stands for. Typically, again, as different from an ambassador, a soldier defends the territorial integrity of the nation. Anything that wants to compromise the territorial integrity of the nation, be it insurrection, that's violence from within, right? And terrorism, which is violence from outside. Right. A soldier's responsibility is typically to ward off any trace of violence. So you have the policemen who do the basic work of, you know, fighting crimes at the basic level. But when it comes to something that threatens the national integrity as a whole, then you see soldiers come to play. And then from the little picture that I've painted, it's clear already the intensity of work and the sensitivity rather of the same, all right, that is vested in the office of the soldier. So I think that may be a good way to start here.
Yeah, and I think I like the angle that you did come from, you know, as you said, every country does have, you know, a name and a system. right? Whether monarchy or, democracy, and really explaining that soldiers defend, right? They defend something, right? They just defend something. Actually, what you said about like the, I think the executive, and I remember so I was listening to a message and someone said that it was like the executive branch of God, but I don't remember what he was. I don't remember it now, but I just remember him saying that. But anyway, yeah, in terms of soldiers, we know what a soldier is, at least to a certain extent, right? And you've already kind of explained that, right? We know what a soldier is to a certain extent. Now, as children of God, why are we likened to soldiers? I don't know if you know what I mean, right? Because would we say that we defend the gospel, or like would we say that? I mean, I think I've heard someone say that they are defender of the gospel. I don't know how correct that is. You know what I mean?
Well, there are many sides to
Yeah.
it.
Or like, we can't. I mean, because how do we necessarily? Well, I'm gonna let you go from there, actually.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I think I get what you're talking about. Now, this is it, right? I know I did a teaching sometime, maybe 4 years ago. And in fact, in all honesty and in all humility, I got back listening to those series. It's a four-part series. And the Lord has directed me to do a season two of it because it's so broad. And the title of that series is The Offices of the Believer. Offices of the Believer. And in that teaching, the Lord led me to share with the people that as a believer, there are several, as it were, hats that you can put on per time, all of which are encompassed in one identity of being a son of God. Let me explain what I mean. I'm a young man, all right, who is unmarried currently, so I'm not yet a husband, but currently I'm a son to my parents. That's one office. I'm a brother to my sister. That's another office. In the church, I'm a Sunday school teacher to my students. That's another office. At some point, I'm a passenger when I have to take public transport. Sometimes when I'm driving, I'm a driver, yet I'm one person. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to talk about. In the same sense, as a believer, there are different offices that you stand in. And all of these offices have different roles and expectations. For example, in those series, I'll just refer to those series again to save me of racking my head. I shared about five different offices that the believer stands in. And of course, because Revelation is progressive, I did this teaching like 3 years ago. Now I'm going to do a season two because there are many more offices that I've seen in the Bible. But in that teaching, I shared that the primary office of the believer is the office of the believer. In other words, he's primarily called into a life of constantly believing God. Hebrews 11, all right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. So you are expected to keep believing by as an occupation. A person who drives a car is called a driver. A person who cleans is called a cleaner. A person who believes is called a believer. That is your primary office. And that's why we keep the teaching of faith. I lean more on the doctrinal persuasion of faith because I won't call myself a faith preacher. I'm everything because I preach whatever Jesus preached. Glory to God. But you see, the idea is that faith, if we don't teach a generation faith, we are going to miss a lot. But because today I'm not talking about that, I just want to, buttress this question that you asked me, right? So aside from being a believer, you also have an office of the Son. And we said it this that a son has a responsibility to replicate the DNA of his father. Because what makes a father-son relationship different from a friend, brother, sister is the DNA, transfer of certain traits and features. The third office I raised was the office of a servant. All right? And we are called servants not in the context of slaves, we are called servants in the context of function. Not identity. By identity, we are sons, but by functions, we are servants. And a servant is simply a person who serves the interest of the one who called him. Right? I also shared the office of the ambassador. I shared the office of the bride. I won't bore you with all of that. But you see, the idea is that one of the offices that we also hold as a believer is the office of a soldier. So when the Bible likens you to a soldier, it's just like the Bible calling you a farmer too. It doesn't exactly mean all believers will be farmers in that sense. It's just that there are certain attributes of a typical farmer that if a believer doesn't have, he will be limited in this work. All right. So that will lead me then to start talking, you know, on certain attributes of a soldier. But I don't know if that's the time for that. So I'll just, you know, hand over to you here. But that's the idea, that we are not primarily called soldiers. That's not the only thing the Bible calls us. It just happens to be one of the things the Bible calls us. So if we are going to understand why he calls us a soldier, then we are going to have to study certain attributes of a soldier.
Right. Yeah. That's true. I like the way you put that. In the offices that you just broke down, right? It doesn't mean that, you know, like you said, we're primarily that, right? Or and sometimes actually, because I was studying something today, and you know, and the Bible says in the day, and I was like, well, if we come and say in the days, or like if we come and say in the day, right? So every like, so that means every day we're saying it's that day.
I get it.
In the Strong Concordance, and it was like, day can be literal, right? It can be, or it can be figurative, right? It could be, it might be a span of time rather than just 24 hours, right? And like you said, when we're called soldiers, it may not be in the understanding that we have as this officer here, like on earth, right? And what we do. You know, and that's what I mentioned that part of, you know, because they defend, right? They defend the home, right? They defend what goes in and what comes out. Now, you know, like I said in the beginning, this is a kingdom, right? So, what, you know what I mean? What level of, I mean, because we already know we're just men, we're just mere men, right? So, to what level do we have to be able to defend the kingdom of God, you know? But I definitely like, I actually enjoyed that where you were talking about the offices, and it reminded me of how in the Bible talks about Jesus Christ, and when you talk about the office of his son, and it says Jesus expressed the character of God. I forget what translation says. It said everywhere to this point he expressed the character of God and the glory of God, as well, right? Like, and that's why we see everywhere Jesus went, he did good because good is the nature of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so in the same way as a, and I think that's, like you say, what is, and I think one of the things I actually sent you was, what is a good soldier, right? And I think with the verse in 2 Timothy 2, verse 4, but I think we're talking, and the Bible says a good soldier, what is a good soldier? Because then it also obviously means a bad soldier. You know, we hear of people who are, quote unquote soldiers, but they sabotage everything. I mean, in, you know, in, I guess just in a normal, or just in the, when the first time you hear that, what is a good soldier? If you need to ask that, you know, soldier. Before we, you know, bring it to, what is a good soldier?
All right. So yeah, we're in for the best time of this podcast, because I mean, I think that this will be the meat of the discussion, right? Yeah. And I already scribbled one or two things in my head, you know, because I knew somehow this question was going to come up. But now as you were speaking, you know, one thing just dropped in my heart, which I'd like to start with, all right, before I go into the things I premeditated. And that's the fact that, number one, a soldier's office is not gender specific. Because in every society, in every nation, every state, we have soldiers, both male and female.
That's right.
You know, and the Lord just quickened that in my heart to say that somebody may just want to disqualify herself and say, oh, I think they're just talking about those guys, those brothers. No, no. Most people do not even realize that Jesus had 12 disciples, but he had, and all of them were men, but he had female disciples. In fact, if you read the Gospels very well, you realize that there was hardly anywhere Jesus went to that those women did not go.
Yeah, that's right.
Just that he called those 12 because the intention was that he will build the church. He will use them, as it were, as progenitors of the church. But that to think that he didn't work with women, he ostracized women, that's what some extremists use when they say women should not preach. I mean, it's absurd because you don't, it's not, the Bible says that there's neither Jew nor Greek, no circumcision, nor like no male nor female. You have all been made to drink into one spirit, and that is Christ.
Right.
All right. So that's the first thing I'd like to put out there. All right. It's not gender specific. Glory to God. Number two, which was number one initially, but now has become number two, is discipline. And that's clear in 2 Timothy chapter 2. No man who wars, no soldier entangles himself with civilian affairs. Civilian affairs there just means worldly affairs, because we are soldiers in this kingdom. And, you know, the world is there to distract us. And the Bible says that, you know, there's always friendship with the Lord, James 4, right? It's enmity with God. So we cannot do friendship of both two of them together. It's just like you want to defend Nigeria. At the same time, you want to defend, maybe if it was those days when Nigeria, when nations used to go to war, you cannot defend two antagonizing nations. You have to choose one side. Exactly. It's just how some people want to put one leg in for Christ, the other leg in the world. It cannot happen. So you need to choose this day which you believe. And that talks about discipline, focus.
That's right.
A typical soldier knows his duty and shows up at his duty post. All right? Mm-hmm. So that's the idea behind we being soldiers. We must be focused. All of those things that entangle the word natural. I'm talking about slangs. I'm talking about trends. I'm talking about dress, culture, all of those things. Now, there's nothing wrong with culture, so long as it doesn't contradict the clear stance of Scripture. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's that about being a soldier. Discipline. The other one I'll talk about is strength. You know how the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:8, bodily exercise profiteth little, but spiritual, godliness is profitable unto all things. If you see a typical soldier undergoing training, my God. Now, I don't know, right? But I live in Africa, Nigeria. And those who listen to this podcast, who are Africans, will understand better. A typical African, when is walking by an average soldier, there's a certain degree of apprehension and fear and caution. Mm-hmm. You just suddenly know that you cannot misbehave around this guy. Now, to be very fair, bulk of what we do in Africa is just oppression, really, because you just see a guy, because he's wearing that uniform, he feels he's on top of the world, and then he can trample on people's rights. But on a very, you know, basic level, you see a soldier, what you see is discipline, and you see strength. All right, no matter how drunk you are as a rascal conductor. So conductor in this part of the world are people who organize the bus, public transport. So they typically hang on those buses, right? And then they are the ones that collect the money and all of that. They are typically, you know, rascally, on cows. You know, some of them are really, you know, rude and all of that. But you see, no matter how rude this conductor is, when they see a soldier, naturally there's an impartation of wisdom. They suddenly know that I cannot afford to misbehave, because here's a soldier with his, you know, I don't know what they call it in African language. You call it koboko. I think it's called horse whip or something like that. Ready for any misbehavior, to judge it on the spot. And it's the same thing with us as believers. We must be ready. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's why we're soldiers. A soldier is only as useful as his strength. A weak soldier can't do much for the kingdom. Right. Exactly. So that's discipline, the strength. Again, we talk about training and skill. For example, as a soldier, you're going to be working with a lot of ammunition, a lot of, you know, ammunition, basically, armory and all of that, guns, bombs, grenades, and all of that. As a soldier, the last thing you want to do is use the battlefront as a training ground.
That's right.
The battlefront is not a training ground. It's only a place to showcase your skill and everything you've done on the training ground. We have pockets of believers today, sadly speaking, who want to do anything but train themselves. They can't do any other thing, but you see, the place of using the word of God skillfully, they can do it. All right. And it's a pain in my heart, especially in the younger generation of believers who, you know, get carried away with a lot of noise, music, drama, concerts, lightning. And those things are not bad in themselves, but in the days that are coming, it is they who know their God, who have learned, like David, to walk in the desert, all right, you know, to fight the bears. They are the ones that will stand before Goliath and bring his head down. You don't stand before Goliath and then, you know. You see, why was David able to go for the head of Goliath? They first gave unto him ammunition that he wasn't used to. He said, no. Because in my training, oh God, I feel the power of God. Hallelujah. In my training, I'm not used to this kind.
Yeah.
And then he pulled off that one and then went for what his skill had been used to. And then he got stones because he was a primitive young man. He was a shepherd boy. All right. And they got stones. And the Lord rode on the strength of his training and his skill to bring down Goliath. All right, so it's so important that as soldiers, the word of God is a weapon that needs some degree of skill. Not anybody can just open the Bible and just open your mouth and no. Even teaching us what requires a degree of skill. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to talk about.
Yeah.
Training. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that strong men, Hebrews 5, belong to them who are full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised. I've come to realize that no matter how anointed you are or you want to be, God cannot do much with you if you are not someone who knows how to train yourself. Someone said that when you come out of Egypt, the Lord will part the Red Sea for you. But the moment it's time for you to go and take on the nation of Canaan, you will step your feet into Jordan. All right? And that's where training comes from. Skill. Knowledge of how to go about it in prayer and in God's word. Then number five, as a soldier, you already said that, so I'm not going to spend so much time on that. That's loyalty.
Yeah.
Every soldier owes his kingdom or nation, right, a minimum degree of loyalty. You must be loyal. It tells in the color of uniform you're wearing. You swear your allegiance to your nation. In fact, I'm aware that when you go for this thing they call NDA in Nigeria, for example, when you want to go into the Defense Academy, you sign a warrant. Your parents will also sign that in case this man dies in training, we will not be held liable for his death. Because what he's coming in for is a matter of life and death. So any man who will sign his death warrant, that's some degree of loyalty. And that's what the Bible also tells us. Nobody must love his life. The Bible says they love not their life unto death. Glory to the name of loyalty. And no matter where this kingdom leads me, Bible says you will suffer so many things for my sake, but guess what? I've overcome for you. It is them who suffer with me that will be glorified with me.
Yeah.
We must be loyal to this kingdom. In the days when the weather is fair and in the day when the weather is bad, a lot of Christians today just want to be fair weather Christians. At the slightest inch of discomfort, they're already swearing at God. But Job, that people don't seem to reckon with the most, he made one of the most profound scriptures in the statements in the Bible. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The wife looked at him and said, oh boy, curse this God and die. Are you still holding me? You are a very foolish man. He said, no, you are the one that's foolish. You are talking like those women that don't have wisdom. Right? He said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my changes come. It's loyalty. We owe this kingdom our loyalty. And that's part of why we talk about, you know, sharing this gospel everywhere. Because I'm a part of this kingdom. So any opportunity I have on my Instagram or my personal wall, I want to let the whole world know that I belong to this kingdom. All right? And finally, one thing that, you know, is expected of a soldier is what I call wits, W-I-T-S. That talks about, you know, discretion. And, you know, sometimes when I pass in front of this army cantonment, I see there's something they call camouflage. I don't know if you see those things, man of God. Yeah, they look like bushes, like trees, but they are in that green. I'm talking now in the Nigerian context. The idea is that by the time you go to war, all right, you are wearing a camouflage such that the color of your uniform matches, almost like a chameleon.
Yeah.
Right? Matches your habitat. So you are not easily recognized. So it gives you a little bit of an edge against your opponents. That's what you call wits. And as believers, for us to survive in this kingdom, the Bible says that the kingdom of the children of this world in their generation are wiser than the children of light. The Bible says that be as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves. As soldiers of this kingdom, we need the wits. I'm talking about discretion. Talking about wisdom. There was one time, once this scripture, as I round up, doesn't cease to amaze me. They were going to arrest David. They had laid ambushments for him. When he found out, the guy began to act like a madman. He started drooling. He changed his apparel. And then he passed in front of the army. They were like, no, this can't be the King David. When he passed in front of his enemies, he decided back to... Do you know what I'm talking about? And you see, sometimes God begins to give us these kinds of strategies. Because the Bible says that we don't even though we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We must be wiser than the enemy.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that he has given us a wisdom that he has hidden from the princes of this world. Hidden wisdom. If we're going to survive in the army of Christ, number one, we must be disciplined. Number two, strength. Three, training and skill. Number four, loyalty. And then finally, wits. I'm talking about discretion. I'm talking about God-given wisdom. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Wow. That was a lot. But while you were talking, I was just writing some things down. And I know we first started talking about discipline, and we think about it. You know, we are, I mean, as believers, like you said, we live a life of faith. Right. We are to be disciplined. Oh, actually, no, before I even go there. You know, in my question that I asked you, I said a good soldier. And I remember I was thinking back to how I said everywhere Jesus went, he was doing good, right? Because God is good. God is described as good. Like everything that God made, you know, he said he saw that it was good. And I remember the other day I was telling someone, I was like, to be honest, that means the word great has nothing compared to good, because God is the only one that can describe this good. We see Jesus, you know, when they call him good teacher, he said, why do you call me good? Only God can be good, right? Called good. And so I was good. You know what I mean? So even when Jesus expressed the character of God, it was, you know, because he expressed the character of a good God. So when you see a good soldier, right, it's like, I don't even know how to put it, but you are a representative of God, right? Like you said, you represent your country, right? So the attributes that follow you as a soldier or in your post and in what you're doing, it's to show that you come from, you know what I mean? That you represent this kingdom. And so then going on into everything that you talked about, discipline, you know, we like to sleep. You know, you know, we also love food. So, you know, we choose the pleasure of our, you know, flesh over, you know, discipline. All right. Discipline to wake up and pray. You are waking up. This actually is funny because sometimes I'm like, I've slept late already. And then I'm waking up and I'm like, why am I restless? Because I don't even understand why. But I know that I have to get up and pray, right? But most times it'd be like, God, we just need a minute. And I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't some times that we're gonna sleep, but you know, if we're soldiers, right, we have to be disciplined in every aspect of our lives, right? Not Absolutely. Even just in our prayer, and like you said, in the our word study life, right? In everything, right? In our jobs, because we exemplify Christ, right? Our characters exemplify the good God. So in our jobs, right? In our work ethics, you know what I mean? There's discipline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Making sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. So that was something I got from what you said there. And I think I missed, until you mentioned that, I missed some of the one, but I was following you. And I was writing, in my journal that where you said how the battle front is not where we're supposed to train. Because how are you gonna learn how to fight in the middle of the fight? Like you're gonna die. You're actually gonna fight. I mean, you don't know how to do something, and I mean, because especially when you're in a fight, like there's no time to necessarily think that much deeply or try and learn something. And so because of the lack of, you know, preparation on our part and discipline and staying with the word of God and praying, because when we pray, we see trouble afar off and God opens our eyes to things, right?
Yes, so, certainly.
You know, in our prayer, we're able to, you know, God gives us victory. You know what I mean? That's why he shows us. But if we aren't doing those things, when they come, we become 911 Christians, right?
Emergency Christians.
911, yeah. Where's, you know, what's your emergency? And God is not like that, right? Thank God our God is the God that hears us all the time. But then it's like, hey, I've been telling you every day, you know, but you chose not to, you know. But anyways, let's move on from that. I remember when we were talking about A Good Soldier, I remember I met, and he's been on we did an episode with him earlier this year, talking about the importance of prayer. He's a soldier. He was a soldier for a long time. And I think from our conversation, I think he's over 70. I remember him saying, yeah, he I think he retired maybe like, I met him in 2021. I think he retired maybe like a year or two back. He was in the military literally all of his life. I remember him telling me, or I just remember his demeanor. Like, I mean, this man is over 70 and he was doing push-ups like for people at the place that we met because we were working for a ministry. And I was like, sir, even myself, I cannot do 10 push-ups as I am properly, like, bros. But yeah, doing push-ups for people. You know what I mean? And the lifestyle of a soldier is really built in his life, right? The discipline. He says, he wakes up. He mentioned in that podcast that he wakes up in the morning at 5 a.m. to go for a run. And he would say, good morning, Jesus. Are you going to come with me today? And Jesus would tell him, yes, I'm going to come with you. I always will be with you, right? And I remember when as he was saying, that's it. 5 a.m.
How old did you say he is?
I don't know the exact age, but he's over 70 years old.
Over 70 years.
Over 70 years. Yeah. And, you know, his lifestyle, I mean, because he works for Samaritan's Purse, he's always going for mission trips. Like, you know, because I keep in touch with him. When I don't hear from him for a while, I know he's not around. And sometimes I send maybe videos and pictures. And, you know, in his stories and telling those things, I'm like, oh, my days. You know, and the thing is, you know how there's people, you know, especially here in the U.S., we see many people who go into the military and they come back with post-traumatic this, post-traumatic that. Trauma, you know, honestly, but he lived a life of Christ. Every time I saw this man, he had his Bible, he was writing something. I don't know what he was writing, but it's even me that used to go and disturb him. I say, good morning, Papa William. How are you doing? In my head, it's like, don't you see this man is he's studying the word, right? Every time I saw him, he was always reading the word, writing something down in his journal. And I remember asking him, I was like, how was it for you in the military, right? Obviously, you saw things. You were almost a five-star general. You were in there for a long time. And he remembered a little story. He said one time they were somewhere, I think, in maybe Afghanistan or somewhere. I don't remember where exactly. But he was holding his Bible. And, you know, obviously, there's crossfire shooting everywhere. They were hearing the cry of a sheep as they were walking. So he's walking as the, you know, the lieutenant or a commander at the time. I don't remember. But they're walking. He's walking with a translator and another person with a rifle, right? So there are three of them walking together. So that the translator hears what the other people are saying and they translate it to him together. So he says he hears the sheep. And so when he hears the sheep, he knows that, okay, if there's a sheep here that's crying that has been shot and caught in the crossfire, that means there's a shepherd somewhere. So he says he starts, you know, he holds his Bible and he kneels down and he prays to God for direction in that moment. And I'm like, first off, you kneel down to pray. But it took me back to what you just said, a life of a believer, right? That means you are like, believing is who you become.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right? Like, you are, faith in God is literally become your lifestyle, right? So it makes sense, you know, it's obviously the same because there's no fear right there, right? That's why he knelt down to pray. And so he says, he goes, you know, they find the boy and he's like a yard, like miles away, he carries him back and all that. But then he says, once they get back, the translator tells him that what they were hearing from the other people was that they were more afraid of him with his Bible than the guy with the rifle.
My God.
And I was like,
profound.
Wow. You know what I mean? And I was like, this is, I mean, this is a life of a soldier, a good soldier. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was not, you know how you meet some people and they tell you this, they tell you that, part of God. Like, you just know, like, by their fruits you shall know them, right? That's not what it says. But he literally embodies the word, you
I'm
know?
telling you.
Everything that he does. I mean, for them to have said that, it's more than him just holding his Bible, you know? Because if you don't carry God, or you don't, I mean, you're not Jesus personified, as we would say, right? Or you have not become, come to a place where you've become the word, or you're, believing God. You can carry the Bible and nobody cares. Some of us carry Bible in our bags. A lot of people carry the Bible on their phone. We don't even know you're talking about, right? Because the way you act does not, you know what I mean? Yeah. So I remember, I just as we're saying that, I remembered his story and I was like, honestly, a good soldier, right? And the verse that I had referred to, 2 Timothy verse 2, verse, I mean, chapter 2, verse 4, it talks about, a soldier should not be seen entangled, right, with the things of, you should not even, when I think about it, entangled, like, you should not be negotiating with the world. You know what I mean? Like, in the affairs of the world, you cannot even be entertaining
At
it.
all, absolutely, yes.
Not be entertaining it at all. You know, because we always seem to find some middle ground where, like, it's okay. You know, but it's not okay. You know? Or we say, God understands. But if, okay, let's just, like, obviously God would never do this. But, like, if we turn the tables and God decides that today he's just tired and he's not going to wake up, you know, because, but he never keeps a number, right? But he just decides he's going to be a human for one day. So we will also, and he'll be like, my humans will understand.
I'm
My
telling you.
children must understand. But God will never do that because he's consistent, right? He's loyal, like you also mentioned. He's loyal to us, regardless of what we do. His perfect love to us is consistent, it's a constant value, right? And so when he's called us his children and we come into that office of his son, like you said, right, there's things that are expected of us. And I like that, how you gave all those, 5 points, right? You said with, discretion, right, discipline and loyalty, it's loyal love. I mean, I've heard, I think Prophet Isa Al-Kubai was talking about how when he was a Muslim, no Christian dared come to him and tell him any, no. Because he was a, I mean, he knew what he was doing, right? I mean, he knew these things. So he said when he finally gave his life to Christ, it was, he said he just, it had, it, I forgot the word he used, but, we can say it annoys him to see Christians who are not loyal to God. Because it's like, what else can you know what I mean? Can you
Of
want,
course.
right? You gotta be loyal to God, to the divine, right, to the sovereign God. I think that also sometimes, I guess, the lack of understanding in that aspect sometimes affect us, right? This is the sovereign God, the God that is to be feared. But another thing that I wrote down as you were talking was, we talked about in the power of his might. And I remember I was listening to a message from Paul Washer, and he was like, a lot of times when we say that scripture in the power of his might, but we take the word of God and everything that's in the word, and we now do it in the power of the flesh. And then we, and when he said that, I said, wow. I
That's deep,
paused
man.
for a minute. I said, wow. Like, you take everything
Jesus.
that's in the word and you're eating it and you're reading it. Because there's a lot of us that read Bible. There's people that even read Bible more than me. Like, or more than both of us combined, right? And then it's in the power of the flesh and not in the power of his might, right? And the power of his might also meaning, when he was saying that, probably also meaning the power of the Holy Spirit, because in the Bible it tells us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truths. And I mean, the Bible is just amazing. And I
It's
think that's why,
beautiful.
I mean, I think that's why you said, the word of God, the importance of making that our daily, I mean, the Bible already tells us that, our daily bread. As I'm even talking, I'm like, the realization that the Bible has really kind of laid everything out for us. But because we don't read,
Yeah, it's complete, man. It's really complete.
Right. If you don't read your Bible, how are you gonna know? You don't. And I remember I got an email for something, and there was like certain instructions they were supposed to follow, and I did not read the first step, and I clicked on the link, and I just went on, because it was like it's pretty simple. That's what they're saying in the steps now. I don't know. I was like, let me actually go back and read, because I don't know why I just did that. We're trying to be disciplined people, right? So we catch ourselves and we make corrections, right? And so I went back. I was like, let me actually read, and I read what they said, and I read the first step, and I was like, create a new. I said, wow, hey, and like I had already used my pre-existing email. Whatever they said, create a new email in that, and I was like, wow, imagine if I only had read what they said. And I obviously have to go back and ask somebody to help me reverse and do all that. But same thing with the word of God, so many things can be avoided if we read the word.
I believe that absolutely.
Are prepared for war when war comes, you know how to fight, right? That's why, even the war right now, Israel was caught unaware, right? How it started, do you know what I'm saying? But to an extent, they already had so many things in place.
In place.
Firing back, right? Because honestly, if you think about it, even here in the United States, if anyone ever does anything, we are fully equipped. And that's why, sometimes I think about it, because I have some people in the military, that I know, they're always calling them back at a certain time to do some time of training. And I'm already I never really asked, but just the thought, okay, they're always constantly training at intervals. Mm-hmm. Always. Because they are they're readily being prepared, right? Anything it may not happen for years and years, but they are all prepared because they're constantly keeping them in shape, making sure that they are. Because that's for one, they make sure they keep them in shape, right? Making sure that the knowledge that they are working in the military is, up there, right? They are constantly testing them to see certain things because they need to be ready, right? And they're not going to now say, oh, I'm a soldier, so I already went for the last training, so I'm not going to go again.
Nothing like that, man.
You know what I mean? Because I think sometimes, even as children of God, we kind of see this thing as work, right? To pray. Yeah. And we prayed in the last 12-hour prayer stretch, but you didn't really pray though, because, but conversation for another day, but you prayed, before, does not mean you shouldn't pray again. It's a constant thing. It's an everyday thing. And like I said, yes, we are human beings. And sometimes we are tired. It's true. But this is your life. Right, I think that understanding helps. Right, this is your life. It's not a part-time job, or even your full-time job. It is your life, right? Because even if you're a full-time job, you can leave eventually.
Mm.
If this is your life, there's no going back. There's no There's no and if you come to understanding of that, then nothing can ever shake you, because like you said at the beginning in your life, you are a believer.
Yeah.
I forgot the way you put it. I think the way you put it was so good. I don't know if you...
There, God, this was recorded, so you can always go back.
Yeah, and then, but, quickly before we go, I just wanted to ask if you had anything else to say. And then also, I remember, I think I sent you a hymn as well.
It pays to serve Jesus, right?
Yeah,
I sing from my heart, lovely song. And maybe just as by concluding words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I was just meditating on why those hymns seem so powerful, and it's because many of those men genuinely knew the Lord. They were not going into studios to record a song that will, as it were, blow. You know how we say it in Nigeria, to say, oh, I want to be the next hit song. No. Many of those songs sprang out of a deep life of devotion, meditation. So the person who composed the song, for example, it's clear he wasn't looking for money. You know that it was not. Do you get what I'm saying? It came out of, you know, for someone to conclude the hymn and tell you, I'll be a true soldier and I'll die at my post. I love him far in days of yore. I'll serve him more truly than ever before. I'll do as he pleases, whatever the cost, right? Then I'll be a true soldier at that, my post. These are songs that I believe that the body of Christ needs to revisit. And these songs, they don't die. I mean, the generations they've been coming from, they are still alive, still pulsating with life.
Yeah.
You know, so I know songs ideally should be words that have been, you know, infused with tune. So the most important part of your song is the words. What kind of songs do we pay attention to? Not just songs that everything is give me, give me, give me.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas is coming now again. You'll be asking for Christmas. What can you not ask the Lord? Lord, what do you want me to do? What can I do to bring joy to your heart before the year runs out?
That's
the average Christian is not thinking like that. It's thinking of how do I get new shoes? How do I? And it's not the best. Right. Yeah. So I think this is a clarion call as soldiers, like we said. There's a degree of solidarity, a degree of faithfulness, loyalty. I think I don't know if it's the army, but one of those pastors, their theme is, their motto is Esprit de Corps. It's a spirit of oneness to say we are all together fighting for the same cause. If we know this, we will not talk down at our brother. If we know this, we will not talk down at another ministry. If we know this, we will not stare down our brothers on the internet. No. It's a spirit of oneness that we're all soldiers of the same kingdom, fighting for the same end.
Yeah.
The day one soldier begins to collide, all right? What's that word now? You know, align with the adversary. He has become complicit. And they have every right to execute him. Because that's you saw your allegiance. Ah, one hymn. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, wherever you're listening to us from, you listened for the past how many minutes now? I mean, I've been blessed myself. You know, just soaking the bout of this wisdom, all right? But you see, our allegiance is to this kingdom.
That's right.
And there's no other kingdom that deserves our allegiance. It is to this thing, one God. All my money, see songs, take my life and let it be. These are hymns that did something to our hearts.
Yeah.
The generation that refuses to go by the ancient landmarks and say, well, let's just invent our thing. There's no new thing anywhere. No new thing anywhere. The way of David. Psalms. Why do we still read Psalms and we still feel the power? Those things came from somewhere. These were soldiers who knew what they were doing on the battleground. I pray that the Lord will release grace upon us all.
Amen.
And strength to our spirits, our souls, our bodies. We'll stand and God will be proud of us indeed, like he affirmed Jesus. This is my beloved son. These are my beloved children in whom I'm well pleased. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for having me, man of God. I mean, I've been greatly, greatly blessed so far in the past 1 hour. So,
We're glad to have you. And we definitely will have you again, by the grace of God. Thank you for honoring our invitation.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you know, with all of us all over the world, you know. It's always good to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the biggest takeaways even from today is, you know, as we, you know, say that, as we've said to ourselves that we are children of God and this is the life that we're choosing to live, we should count the cost, right? And pay the price. So that we can also say that we would die at our post, right? And understanding that it pays. It just pays to serve Jesus. So thank you so much for joining us. We're really grateful.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you all for joining in once again. And I hope you have a fantastic day. Bye-bye.